About faith, kind of a common theme among Christians. Like, kind of thought, I wonder how many places across the land is going to speak of faith today. I'm sure that there's a lot. I don't know that I can back this up, but I'll give it for your consideration about faith. And I know that faith is one of the most important elements to the Christian life. I don't know that the Bible specifically says why that is or in any kind of a understandable term exactly. But my mind of it is that faith is the median, if you will. It's the go-between a spiritual being and a carnal being, a fleshly. We're flesh. And the only way that there can be a real contact between the two, a meaningful relationship and contact, is through the element of faith. I will not reach out and touch God's, the hem of the garment today with my fingers. But I may be able, by faith, to touch Him. Faith is so important to us in our relationship with the Lord, that there is so much said about it. I won't even try to spend the time in covering much of it. But it's you know the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures, and how Jesus promoted faith. Because without it, we can't receive anything. The Bible says. I think James says that. You can't receive anything from God without faith. If God was to speak to someone that didn't have faith, they wouldn't hear it. Or they wouldn't believe the power of it. They wouldn't receive it without faith. And so faith is so important in our living for the Lord. And everything that we get and receive from the Lord in our prayers to the Lord, if we don't bring that by faith, we won't bring it at all. It's faith that promotes us to even do it. It's faith that receives back from us. God wants to speak to everybody, but everybody doesn't have faith. And so there is no return. There's no receptacle. Faith is a receptacle to what God is trying to speak and to what's trying to be said. And I don't know if you thought about this before, but if you're here today and you have an element of faith, if you have any faith, you're blessed today to have had the background and the position that you can believe God, that there's a God. I'm going to say, you're blessed if you only believe that there's a God. There's a blessing. It won't save you necessarily, but it gives you an avenue. So much of our world today, there's no faith. Jesus said, will I find faith on the earth? One of His big questions was that when I return, will I find faith? And I look at the world around us today, and if there's anything lacking, it's the underlying faith in God. More and more, several years ago, Bill O'Reilly, I mean, he's a news personality. He's a Catholic guy, but he was made to comment on one of his broadcasts that Christian, he had some statistics in nominal Christianity, that the attendance rates, We don't really count attendance, and I mean, I'm saying even church membership, we don't, that's up to God. But I mean, in the nominal Christian world, had plummeted over the last two decades. Had completely plummeted, and it's been taken over more and more by secular life. You go out on the street on Sunday, and 50 years ago, Sunday was held different in the eyes of the public than it is today. And today, you can go out and you can do the interviews and you'll find out that people are just secular. They're not opposed so much, but they're just secular-minded. asked about God, they'll say, I don't believe in God, to I don't know. It's moving more. And faith is becoming less and less in our society. Not only our society, but worldwide. There's a less and less faith in God and what God is. It's one thing to believe, as James said, you must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's accessible. Not only is God there in some form, in some kind of a distant creator that people can believe in of times gone by, but God is accessible for those that diligently seek Him. You can be benefited by a relationship with God. You must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And therefore is the faith. And we're blessed today if we have that background or that place, because many, many people now are being born and raised without anybody even the inklings of faith. And the stories of the Scriptures without faith are impossible to believe. You know that? Oh, come on. I mean, a guy actually was in the belly of a whale. I mean, that's pretty far-fetched. I mean, these guys were thrown into this fiery furnace and they didn't burn. I mean, really? Without faith, those are... I mean, from a secular carnal mind, that's ridiculous. Without faith and understanding, that is ridiculous. You cannot believe. You cannot receive. How many times have you all got value out of the idea that the three Hebrew children were thrown in that fire and they didn't burn? How many times have we used that to say our God can do the same for us? He's still in the fire. How many times have we received from that through faith to believe that that actually did happen and our God was able to do that? How many times have we used the idea of Jesus walking on the water? By faith we believe that. By faith we believe that when they come up to the Red Sea, that God, that by the Lord's power, Moses split the Red Sea. We believe by faith. We believe that. Otherwise, there's no value in me being able to get through impossible circumstances that I can't see a way through. But by faith, I can believe that. I want to instill today. I think the way the Lord wanted me to present this today is to look at your faith as your most valuable commodity. You've got to have faith. You cannot make it without faith. And the devil and all of his imps and the world and everybody with it is going to try to sap your faith. Because there's many things can be taken from you that will not affect your spiritual walk. But if you lose your faith, you're done. There is no contact. You can't receive anything from the Lord. So I want to look at a scripture in Luke. I think I want to start. Faith is to be taken and saying, do you remember the man that Jesus said to him, do you believe? And he said, yes, I believe, but help my unbelief. I have faith, but help me to have more faith. Help me that my faith would increase. What the Lord is working for, this is so important to our relationship with the Lord. It's the number one thing that the Lord works with in our lives. Is our faith. That the trying of our faith being more precious than gold that perishes. How precious is this? It's more precious than gold. This the trying of it is more precious because it is going to enhance it. The Lord needs to enhance it. We got to have faith or we can't receive. You can't receive of God the information. He can't talk to you. He can't even speak in that still small voice because without faith you can't hear it. You can't realize that it was even the Lord that said it, it'll be dismissed. Do you think an atheist actually thinks that God spoke to him? Would he? Would God speak to an atheist? He'd speak. But there would be no way of hearing it. There would be no way to condemn it. It would never be. It was an idle. It was an idle thought of my own, or it's meaningless. It would be through faith. So he tries to get our faith. I want to look at a scripture here in Luke 22. Twenty-two and thirty-one of Luke. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So here's the idea of this. I remember Brother Tony illustrating this one time. And the idea was is that you got the sieve, and you're sifting. And the idea is that you shake this, right? And the wheat that's in the sieve, it will go through the holes, and the only thing left is the chaff. There's nothing good left. And he wants to shake it and shake it and sift it and sift it, and all the good and the value and everything runs out the bottom. And he sifts and he sifts and he shakes until there's nothing left but the chaff in the basket. That's all that he's got. And that was the reference that Jesus had to Simon. Peter, this is what Satan's desiring to do with you. He wants to get you in there, and he wants to shake you. He wants to shake out all the good feelings that you have towards the things of God. He wants to shake out your faith. He wants to destroy your mind and heart. He wants to shake it. He's going to keep shaking you. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to shake you too. These words are as true today to every one of us as it was to Peter. I can say to any name in your brother Mike, Satan desires to have you and sift you as wheat. He wants to sift out, and what he wants to get out of you more than anything else is your faith. He wants to get through with it. He wants the hardships of life. He wants the troubles of life. God can ordain those to help us to believe more, but if we're not careful, those things will destroy us, and we will have no faith left. Lord, what are you doing? Sifting, sifting, sifting. And this is what the Lord said to Peter. Listen to what the Lord said to Peter. He said, but I have prayed for thee, what? That your body not fail? No. I don't want your finances. I'll pray that your finances not fail. I'll pray that your life is all good. I'm going to pray for you that you can be respected and honored. I want to respect that that everybody will look at you with dignity and respect. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith, you're being shaken. You're going to be shook. You're going to see me die on the cross. You're going to go through all this, and you're going to doubt, and you're going to die. I'm going to pray for you that your faith holds. Because if your faith holds, everything holds. Because you've got an avenue to God Almighty. You have an avenue to receive in your emotional strength, in your physical strength. You have a way to take care of the needs of your soul. Without faith in God, you have no way to take care of the needs of your soul. There's no avenue for you to get anything. So Jesus was looking at that, and where we a lot of times will look and say, we want this, that, we want this or this. And Jesus said, I pray that your faith not fail. But why wasn't he more... You mean that Jesus wasn't concerned about Peter's life? He didn't say that your life go on. Jesus knows all about that. You're going to go through these things. And the main thing that happens is that you've got faith. When you get to the end of it, your faith has not failed you. You went through all these things. I want to tell this to the glory of God. I don't know how altogether that he ended. I think he ended well for what I can understand. But when I went through what I did with Tammy and the situation of her cancer and the years of dealing with all the things that come along with that, I saw the Lord. I had to look. I had to believe and have hope for hope from time to time, if you know what I mean. There was times that it was brutal. There was times when I didn't think I could go on. But the Lord blessed and I helped, and in it all, I said, what a faithful God we have. At the same time, my father-in-law, Tammy's dad, was going through the same thing with his daughter and his wife. His wife was dying of cancer at the same time. And after it was all said and done, I was sitting down talking with him one day. Tammy had died and her mother had died, and sat down. And with much emotion, he told me, I don't have any faith. Said, I used to believe. I used to believe so much, so strong. And after all this, I just don't have any faith. Well, it's time to pray for faith. But that was his remark, and I remember thinking how drastically different you can turn that the two simultaneous things, what they did. I come away with more faith. I saw God as a faithful God. I saw Him work in the little small things. I saw Him work in all these things. I'm not saying that He ended His life with no faith. That was where He was at the moment, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not putting Him down. At the moment after His wife died, He was despondent, He was down, and He said, everything I believed and hoped in had failed me. I don't have no faith. My faith is gone. You know, we all can get in that. We're very human. The avenue that the Lord wants to work in us, and that's why He does the trying of our faith, so that we can go through that and see that God's still real after that. He's still there after that, and we can harden in our faith and believe more and more and more. If there's anything you need to guard today, guard your faith. When we talk about you shouldn't get into this or you shouldn't get into that, or watch where you go and watch what you're listening and watch what you're saying, you know what we're really saying? What God's really saying? You need to guard your faith. Because if you start believing things that's not true, you're going to hurt your faith. When you start doing things that you know is not right before God, you're not going to have faith in God. You better guard your faith. Somebody might help me out with this because it's vague in my mind right now. But isn't there a scripture where the Lord entrusted these people with so much stuff and they was to carry it, and when they got there, they were supposed to give what the Lord had given. They're supposed to give it back here and there. This is the way this is. God is going to expect of us something one day. And there's a scripture. I want to look at this too. It's a familiar scripture. I use it. It's one of my favorite scriptures in 2 Timothy 4. Where Paul says, I believe Paul was a man of faith. And it was faith. Jesus didn't promise Paul on his journeys that he wouldn't shipwreck. He promised him faith in a shipwreck. Have faith in God that this is going to work for you and it's going to be good. How can I believe that all things work together for good? How possibly can I look at bad situations and say that this is going to work to my good without faith in God that said it? How can I believe that something befall my life and it looks so bad and these evil things that seem to be following me on a day? How can I possibly think that that's something that's going to be good without faith? It takes faith in God to be able to see through those things. And sometimes we're like old Peter when he started walking on that water, and the circumstances we begin, Jesus would say, Peter, ye little of faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Well, I know why you doubt. I started looking around at the waves and I started looking at all this and my faith failed. I'm going to pray for you. That your faith don't fail. Because you're going to need this. You're going to need this in your lifetime. If you're going to go on and be successful living for the Lord, you're going to need your faith. And its faith is to be protected and held on to. Lord, help me to believe that all things work together for good. Help me to believe that you're in our lives. Help me to believe that this circumstance that happened isn't just out flung out there on the, what do we say, on the idea of chance and anything can happen to me. No. I believe in God. So he said, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered," the sixth verse, "and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course," and here we go. "Lord, I'm coming to you. And the faith that you produced in me, I'm going to bring it to you." I can hear the angels sing because I have faith to hear it. There's a scripture that said something about, "I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the Lord." It was nowhere around me, but by faith I saw it. Darkest night in brazen sky. You know, it's like there's this dark and brazen sky, but there is a dot. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a dot of light, and I can see through by faith. I can see through the darkest night and the brazen sky. "I have fought a good fight," he said. "I finished the course." My life's over. Isn't that what he's saying? Tomorrow, I'm going to stretch my neck out, and they're going to cut it off. They're going to cut my head off. By faith, that's okay. There is no other measure that it is. No other measure can make that okay. But faith can make that okay. "Lord, you have appointed and now my time. Lord, I'm going to come." And all that was done in all of this. I remember telling Brother Bob Husky one time, I was telling him about going through being in a place that I never dreamed of being. I sat beside the technicians who run the MRI and had them explain it to me. I saw CT scans. I saw so much stuff, and me being inquisitive and them being friendly, they just let me sit there and watch and do it. And I seen all this stuff and all that. And I was saying to Brother Bob one time, I said, "I am in a place that I never dreamed of being, and I know more about cancer and more about technologies and more about machines and all that than I ever dreamed or wanted to know." And he said, "Brother Marty, that is the trying of your faith." When I said to him, "And what they can do is miraculous, what they can do. They can see layers of you through magnetic imagery. They can just see layers all the way through you. They can do all this." And he said, "It's a trying of your faith." Do I still believe? I'm going to tell you, our God cannot only look through the layers of your body. He can look into the psychological part of you that no machine will ever see. He can look into the very desires that you have beyond all these things. And when I got through with all of it, I'm going to tell you, my faith was increased by seeing it all, not decreased. He said, "I fought a good fight. That snake bite that God healed me from right there in the sight of men was scary when it happened. But it increased my faith. That shipwreck where I was out so many days floating on them boards or barrels or whatever, floating out there in the water, and you're thinking, it's a time that is God. Where's God? Where's God? My mission, where's God?" And God brought him out at the right time, at the right place, to see the right people and do the right work. And God had it all in there. And he said, at the end of it all, you know, Paul had went around preaching, and there was people that was dear to him, sons and daughters of his ministry that he considered spiritual sons and daughters, and along come false prophets and false teachers and stuff, and swiped them away and taught them things, and he was so distraught. And when he talks about wrestling with beasts at Ephesus and the false prophets and all those things, but he said at the end of it, "I fought a good fight. I finished the course, and I kept the faith. I still have faith in God. I still can contact. He can still speak to me and I can speak to Him. I still believe that God is in control of this world. And if God wanted me to stay, the Emperor of Rome couldn't get rid of me. I believe God has chosen tomorrow to be my day to go to glory. My work is done and I've got faith." The devil tried to sift me as wheat. He tried to take it all from me, from all these different suggestions of my mind. God isn't really going to get you out of here. God ain't doing you right. You all know what the devil does. At the end, he fought it all, and at the end of it, he says, I still have the faith that I had before. God is a God that's working. He showed himself strong in my life. I just want to say this. Faith is the most important quality that we can have, because without it, we cannot please God. We can't receive anything from Him without faith. So faith is the gold that we should cherish and say, I need to protect my faith. One scripture, I believe, says something like building up your most holy faith. Building it up. How are you going to do that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is something about the application of God's Word, something about application of spiritual living, of those kind of things that should build our faith up that God is real in our lives. And when the world rages around us, or as the Scripture, what is that, the 115th Psalm, about the heathen raging, well, let them rage. They don't touch my faith. All the atheists in the world can say there is no God. Keep on saying it. But my faith has a realization of God by faith. And it's why that nowhere in all the places in the Scriptures when Jesus dealt with people, He dealt with them with their faith when they was ready to receive something. It's the language of the Spirit. Earthly language isn't what does it. It's the faith that we speak with. Lord, I really do believe. I don't believe it's right to use your faith, I've said before, to use your faith as some kind of a vice or a way of trying to make God do what you want to do. You can't sit around and grit your teeth long enough, make yourself think to get your way about something. It's the submission to God's will, the faith that we have in a God that's right. A God that loves us. A God that's going to do it right. And we have faith enough to say, I'm a child and He's my Father, and I have the liberty and right to ask Him, always understanding that my Father's going to do what's right for me if I ask the wrong thing. Don't you think that as you had children, don't you think no's been a good answer sometimes when it comes to their health and well-being? Sometimes no is the right answer. By faith, God can say to me, no, and it's okay. Because He's still God. And I want a God that's like that. I want God to be the God that'll tell me the right thing in my life and lead me the right way in that. Sure, I love sunny days. These last few spring days have just been a thrill to my soul. But I'm going to tell you what. The flowers won't grow without the rain. And it'll dry up around here unless we have some cloudy, dark, sometimes even stormy days. There's things that only live because it gets cold. There's seasons that only happen in the things that are in. We got to know that and believe. God set the whole world as a way to speak to us by faith. You realize that? He used all these analogies of the things around us, and it's by faith that we see the things that God has done. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. I want to turn just a minute to, in closing, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And I want to say again, when Jesus prayed for Peter, He prayed for the most important thing to Peter. And it was, He didn't pray for his life. He didn't pray for his health. He didn't pray for the honor of people. He didn't pray for his economic situation. He prayed for his faith not to fail. Because that's the gold. That's the thing that gives us access into the throne of God, to where you can ask for financial needs and God can get it to you. By faith, you can receive of God everything else that you need to have. In Hebrews, I just wanted to pick out this one because he's considered the father of faith. And this is the faith chapter, of course, and you can read it all. And I think it'll make sense in into the message today. But in the 8th verse, It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Here was the example that's been handed down from the father of faith for all those years, and now we are the children of Abraham because we believe and didn't even question. I think questioning is good. But Abraham had faith in God enough to hear him to start with. You know, if you didn't believe in God, the voice that comes to says that I want you to go out to hear. I don't hear that. What is that? But by faith, he heard and understood the word of God. And it says that by faith, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed it. He obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for him for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And you can read the whole thing. By faith. By faith they had the child in the old age. By faith. By faith they received. Over and over by faith they received. God made of Abraham a great nation. By faith he made that. He promised that in Isaac would the seed be called. He promised these things. And by faith Abraham walked out on this journey with God. And I want to tell you, within the lines of this, if you can read between the lines here, you can understand something, that Abraham packed up and left everything dear to him. It wouldn't be important otherwise. His family, his home, everything that he knew and understood of the land and place that he lived, he packed up and left that and sojourned away from that area. He sacrificed to do what God told him to do, that God might be able to work his perfect will. It was by faith that he was able to do it. We need to protect and nourish our faith in God. In the day to where I've heard it said many times, and I've quoted it many times, that we live in a time that faith is at a low ebb. It's on the lowest place that the world's been in a long, long time. Probably since the days of Christ. It's getting lower and lower. Really having faith that you can start to understand how people can start believing. I actually heard this the other day for what it's worth. And I can't verify the validity of it. But they were actually seen this story where this woman takes her son to the veterinarian and asked the veterinarian to help her son with this condition they had. And the veterinarian said, I can't do that. I ain't licensed. I can't deal with that. And she said, he's a cat. This is the way he's identifying as a cat. And she gets upset. She's upset because the veterinarian wouldn't work on the cat. And that's what veterinarians do. And the veterinarian was there saying, I can't do that because I can't do anything for a human being. I'm not licensed. I get in big trouble. And she said, he's a cat. You want to know why faith's important now? You say that's impossible. You think that's impossible. That's what the world's doing without faith. That's where it's going. It's got to go in to the deepest recesses of the human's mind. That's the best place it can go. To whatever I feel and want to do, I'm God to myself. There's nothing else. That's what I'm trusting. I'm trusting in all of this. Well, I wouldn't assume anybody in here would think that your child was a cat or let them believe that. But I'm saying within relative terms, without faith, you don't know what you'll pick up. And you don't know where you'll go in your thinking, and you don't know what you'll be without faith. Faith is the avenue to where God can correct us. Do you know that? Faith is why God can correct us. God can't correct the world. They don't have no faith. They can't hear. They can't hear. They can't understand. But by faith we can receive of God. What can we receive? Correction if I need it. advice if I need it. Direction if I need it. I can receive the blessings. I can receive the good things. By faith, I can receive those things from the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please it. Our faith is so important. I just want to encourage you today to nurture your faith. Take it as an actual little object that you have, and don't allow that faith to be damaged. You're not going to bother my faith. Some people can handle some things and some can't. I'm going to say, if you're of the person of the Constitution that you can't really handle the debate, the wider debate about whether there's a God or not, don't involve yourself in it. Keep your faith. If you got a problem in the political world that you have a problem, I'm going to say stay out of it. There is things that you just got to put up the limits and the walls and say, that is going to damage my faith. I'm not going into that debate and argument. Well, you look like you don't know much. It's better to look like you don't know much and have your faith than to act like you know a lot and not have faith. If those things are going to damage and hurt your faith, don't do it. If reading the paper is a conflict to your faith, don't read the paper. If you have problems on the internet, don't go on there. Your faith is more important than all of these other things. And at the end of it, the most valuable thing that you're going to have when you lay down for this moment for your end, the most valuable thing that you're ever going to have at that time is your faith. If you can lay down there with your faith, you're in a good place. Lord, help us today. You pray for me.